Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Come by and pay us a visit. The show is brought to you today on the iPhone, Android, Palm, and BlackBerry by the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Mr. Media is also sponsored by thepartyauthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJs. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and hometown of 2010 American Idol finalist Michael Lynch, St. Petersburg, Florida. It once seemed preposterous to me that anybody thought they could make truck driving interesting and dramatic enough for a 60-minute TV show. And this is the opinion of someone who has never missed an episode of a little show about Alaskan king crab fishermen called Deadliest Catch. Seriously? Seriously? Someone figured they could make an entire series about guys, and to the occasional woman, who drive enormous trucks across remote areas of Canada on roads of ice? Well, believe it. The most popular show on the History Channel is called Ice Road Truckers. It attracts 3 million viewers per episode, and with its fourth season starting on June 6th, it has made a pop culture hero out of a simple bearded man named Alex Dibogorski. I think the difference between people who get this show and those who don't is a difference between people who have driven trucks and those who haven't. I drove a truck for a while in college, navigating the treacherous highways and surface roads between Gainesville and Ocala, Florida, traversing the hazardous Payne's Prairie. Okay, it was neither hazardous nor treacherous, but it was for everyone on the road when I was. I had no training and no idea what I was doing. And there's a motel owner in Ocala who will testify to that effect after I drove a too-tall truck under his too-low canopy and relocated it. But I digress. Joining me now is the star of Ice Road Truckers. He's calling in from London, of all places, and I certainly hope he'll tell us why in a moment. Alex, welcome to Mr. Media.
Good day, sir.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, Alex, tell us why you're in London. I hear there's a very good story about this.
Well, I came to London to a truck show called Truck Quest. And we've been basically signing autographs and meeting fans here from the UK, which I haven't had the opportunity to do before.
I guess I misunderstood. I thought that you were there waiting for permission to do some driving.
No, that's the only reason I came down here was for this truck show.
Oh, well, I apologize. I guess I completely misunderstood that. All right, well, let's go past that. Season 4 starts in about 2 weeks, June 6th. I understood that for this season you drove through the Himalayas?
No, the season 4 is in Alaska.
I'm struggling a little here. I'm not sure where the communication was. Tell me about season 4.
Season 4 was completed about 2 months ago. It's supposed to be out on American television early June, I believe June the 6th, and we did it as we did season 3. We did it in Alaska on the Dalton Highway and out on the ocean there.
And is there anything that you know, people who've been watching the show for the past 3 seasons, when they come to season 4, Will there be some things that are different, new challenges?
Well, I guess you can say that it seems like every day this is the same, but actually every day is a different day, and when one's driving truck, there's always new challenges. Around every corner, you never know what's there. So, yes, we did run into new challenges and had a number of different interesting things happen. I don't want to give away any of the stories, then it would be boring.
I understand. And I see, I've gone back and looked. Now, I see where I got confused. You're going to be doing a show called Extreme Truckers in the fall, and that's, what is that about?
Well, all I can say is we are doing a new show, a trucking show, and it's called Extreme Trucking, and it's going to come out in the fall, but I'm not allowed to say any more than that.
Okay. All right. One of the things in watching the show that I notice is that the producers make a lot of effort to build up suspense. They have the cameras underneath the trucks, on the sides of the trucks, in the cabin with you. But they also have their own staff members in the truck. And you tell me. I mean, is it that dangerous that they're risking not only you but their own staff members on these drives, or are they building up the tension beyond what it actually is out there?
Well, it varies from year to year. Sometimes we don't have cameramen in the truck, and sometimes we do. Depends on the week. It adds to my work. It makes my job more stressful because I have to look after, be responsible, look after them too.
I wondered about that because, yeah, I mean.
On a second, the other thing is that you don't have one, I don't have a lot, a person doesn't have a lot of time to himself. That makes it a little irritating sometimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, how long, the average drive when you're taking a load from point A to point B, how long are you actually in the truck? I mean, it's compressed for TV, but how long are we talking about?
Well, in Alaska, the drive is 500 miles long, so, we have, depends on the weather. It can be anywhere from, probably 14 hours to, if we end up with really bad weather, it could be 18 hours or more.
Mm-hmm. And how different is it to do that drive by yourself versus, someone who's in the car, and not someone that you've chosen to be on the trip with you, but someone who's been assigned there and it's work for them too?
Well, you don't, when one's by himself in the vehicle, you don't have to worry about somebody asking silly questions or, anybody being there. Generally, as a truck driver, unless we're team driving, we drive by ourselves, so it tends to be the job has a little bit to do with solitude.
Well, and I wondered about that. I mean, did you choose this type of work because you like to have that time to yourself?
Well, I don't mind being by myself. I mean, I didn't really, when I was young, I was going to college and we got married early and then went looking for a job and one thing led to another. And after about 16 jobs at about $2 an hour, I was offered a job in the mine driving truck and it was about $6 an hour. So it sounded like a good deal. And then life sort of took over and one thing led to another. And I ended up being a truck driver and, equipment operator and have a business in that line of work. That wasn't my plan when I was a teenager, but that's the way it turned out. I spent a lot of time by myself. I spent a lot of time by myself in the woods when I was a kid, and we lived back in the woods. And I'm not exactly a loner, but I don't mind being one.
Mm-hmm. Has the show, the attention that the show has brought to you, does it ever have moments that are uncomfortable for you, where you are the center of attention and people are paying a lot of attention to you? Is that, are you okay with that, or has that taken some getting used to?
Well, I'm a breastfed baby, and I think I was taken off the breast too early, so I don't mind attention.
Okay, that's some personal information there. Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, try to put it all in a nutshell,
No, I get that entirely. I'm curious, and maybe for this new show, I know there's not much you can, tell us, but I was thinking, when I drive roads that I've known for years, I probably am drive more confidently and faster. But when I'm on a new road, particularly in the mountains, I'm way more apt to go slow and exercise greater caution. Now, you drive all the time. Do you drive the same way no matter where you are, or do you have those two levels that you go back and forth between?
Well, you're right. I mean, once I get comfortable with a road, I can go quicker, but I don't drive as fast as I did when I was 20 years old. I drive a lot more conservatively, but of course, being on new roads, I drive even more conservatively. Even an Alaska road, that even though I've made quite a few trips on there now, probably mm-hmm. 30 or 40 trips, I don't feel the road warrants going quicker. I mean, a lot of people do go a lot faster than I do, but trying to second guess the next corner and the next hill and the road conditions and the animals and everything else, I guess once you get to be 50 years old, you kind of want to live a little longer. It's not like being 20 and life is dispensable.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. I mean, one of the things we see is your situation when you're driving for the show is a little more controlled, I think. But there are other people on the roads who have nothing to do with the show, even is in the desolate Alaska wilderness where you're driving. And we see people pulling up around you and passing dangerously, going at dangerous speeds. I mean, you can't control all the factors out there.
That's right, but that's like everyday driving too. I mean, that happens when you go home from work today and you're driving down the road. You're going to see that happening to yourself, so that's quite normal.
Right, but if I'm driving down the road today, there's probably more than two ice-covered lanes for me to move out of the way. If there's an aggressive driver on the road, there's a place for me to get out of the way and wait for them to go by and keep moving.
But there's a good chance you're going to see a STARS helicopter or an emergency helicopter or an ambulance go by too.
Yeah, I guess you've seen enough of that happen, right?
Well, I've seen that, but I mean, you see it. We lose 40,000 people a year on the highways of America, mm-hmm. and they generally. Most of them aren't professional drivers. They're just mom and dads and kids going to school, going to the grocery store and things like that. So it's, we have a dangerous job, but on the second hand, on the other hand, people risk their lives every day in the most benign of situations. I think the biggest thing about these reality shows is that they frame the guy next door raising a family and doing his job, and they could make a movie about you, they could make a movie about the grocery clerk. A lot of us think we have, I thought I had a boring life until the television came along. But really, when you look through all the things that happen in your life, you have, your life isn't as boring as you may think it is.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I mostly make my living as a writer, and I always find that if you listen to people and you really focus on what they do, most everyone's got an interesting story to tell. I mean, people on television generally are no different than everyone else in that it's that, someone has focused on them and found, hey, this could make an interesting story. I mean,
Well, every one of us, anybody that's listening has a book. You can write a book about every individual listening to the show. It's myself. I have an interest. I've been car crazy ever since I was a kid, and I have over 100 cars in my yard. And, I look at each car, and I think, this car is a 1964, Le Mans two-door car at, the first year of GTO, and it's sitting there with half the windows missing and half the engine gone and a little bit rusty. And I think, just trying to imagine all the people that drove it and the story that could be written about that car. And you can go from car to car the same way, but you can go the same way from person to person.
Have you always had that number of cars, or has doing the show enabled you to increase the collection?
Yeah, doing the show hasn't financially made much difference in my life at this point.
Really?
I have my own business, and for 30 years, and that's how we've made a living. And basically, the show has interfered with my normal life, and so now I depend on the show, to generate the same income as my business, and it basically does about the same. And so I'm broke most of the time, just like I was in my own business. You know, my expenses are very high. Like, I live in Yellen. I have a business, and of course I got equipment and things, but I'm a one-man operation. Even though some of my children that are older have an interest in it, they're busy doing their own jobs. So my costs are over $10,000 a month. You know, just to make the payments on the property and pay for the groceries and pay the power and fuel. Like, I mean, our water, sewer, and electricity is around $1,000 a month. I know, and I spent last summer operating out of Manitowoc, Wisconsin, for 4 months traveling to different Chuck shows. And people would say, "Oh boy, you must have a lot of money." And they said, "What do you pay for water, sewer, and power?" And the guy said, "Well, a bad month, $100." I said, "Well, a bad month for me is over $1,000." You know, so then he's sort of our costs are high for living in the north. You know, so right. As far as I'm trying to. That's the reason I've been doing these tours. I've been going to the truck shows, and we sell a few T-shirts, and we're working on a book, and I wrote lyrics for a song with, you know, Johnny Neal and Doug and a friend of his there in Nashville put to music a nice little trucker song, and I've given him a number of other lyrics that I write a bit of poetry. So I've been trying to take advantage of notoriety. Whether I'm successful or not, or whether I make a bunch of money, I don't think is really that important. My brother told me that just some of us aren't meant to have money. We just live life broke. Doesn't matter how much comes in. But I think my concern is that once this notoriety blows over and there's no more Ice Road Truckers or Alec Divagorsky TV star, that I can't say, "Well, gee, I could have done something with that." So if I make some sort of an effort to make use of, become the Britney Spears of the trucking world, and it doesn't work out, so be it. I'm not going to concern myself about it. I'm just putting time in until they build the coffin anyway. Just like the rest of us, buddy.
I'm still thinking about you as the Britney Spears of the trucking world. I guess in the trucking world, you probably might be one of the prettiest truckers. So yeah, I guess that could happen, right?
Well, I think, I mean, you got to relate it to Britney there. You know, when I'm almost 60, and what's Britney going to look at 60 compared to me? I've got about the same amount of hair in my chest as she does. I think I'll probably look just as good or better when she's 60. She might be just a puff of dust by the time she turns 60. She might be just a puff of dust in the wind.
Well, look, let's go backwards. How did you get involved in the show, and why was it something that you agreed to do at the time?
Well, I was the show, really did come and decide. I was working for the company that original productions, the producers or the makers of the show, made the deal with to make the show. And then they came and they were trying to make a pilot of some sorts. I don't understand all that Hollywood lingo, but they were making some kind of a pilot, and they showed up in the summertime, quite a ways, a few months before the ice formed. And they started looking for characters, and they were interviewing people that drove truck for this company, and everybody pointed them toward, just about everybody suggested they talk to me, because I had reached character status before the TV show showed up. So finally they came to see me and decided, yes, I was a character, and that they would like to have me in the show. And the next question, of course, we've had numerous TV outfits show up there on the ice road from mostly from Europe, but sometime America. And usually the camera guys just get in the way. They more interfere with your work than anything else. So there's quite a few people that weren't really interested in doing the show. But I decided, like, I have 11 children, and we just had our 11th grandchild, and hoping to have 89 more, good Lord willing. And I thought, well, that'd be pretty neat. Like, and I have a grandfather that he died in Auschwitz, before I was born, but we don't even have a picture of him. I don't know what he even looks like. And I thought, well, that'd be kind of neat if the grandkids can watch Grandpa on reruns after he's dead. So I thought, well, what the heck, we'll take a shot at it.
I think that is one of the most interesting reasons for being on a TV show that I've ever heard, and it's one of the best reasons. Yeah, I mean, you're creating a legacy to leave for your family.
I've been BSing my kids. As a dad, you spend a lot of time, kind of BSing the kids. So now, being a TV star in the booth, I got one more thing over them, eh?
Let me ask you, have you ever taken issue with the producers and the way that they've presented you or something that's happened on the road?
Well, once I know that once they have shot the show, once they've shot the film, I don't have any, I don't know, there's a word for it, but I don't have any, once they've shot the show, once they've captured me on film, I really don't have any say.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when I watch the show, I mean, I don't, you know, I do feel like, you know, maybe they show me a little bit like a royal ass, but then, I mean, that is reality. What can I say? I try not to worry about it. You know, sometimes they might not make a guy look too good, but that's the way it's done, I guess.
Mm. All right.
I'm not going to concern myself about it. I'm not running for president or anything else. And so if I do look foolish, well, then I look foolish. I mean, it'll all come to an end one day, and I'll just vanish into the dust of time, and that's no big deal.
When we started the conversation, one of the things I was asking, was talking about, was the heightened dramatic effect of the show. Do you get frightened, actually? I mean, are there moments genuine, or are they just creating tension for those of us watching at home to keep us, you know, glued to the TV after the commercial?
Well, they do create tension, and I mean, they have to. I mean, I'm a storyteller. I tell stories. So, I mean, if I'm telling you a story, I gotta create interest. I can't just, you know, I can't just talk in a monotone all the time. And I mean, if I have a fish and it's 24 inches long, if I tell you it's a 24-inch long fish, then you're going to picture a fish as 18 inches long. So I add, you know, 5 or 6 inches. I make it 30 inches long. Well, then in your mind, it's a 24-inch fish. You know, it's storytelling. But at the same time, you know, you're right. At the same time, well, sure, there's a heightened tension. There's a, you know, thing about safety and danger. But at the same time, if you're watching it and it scares you, if they're filming me at a point when I'm scared, you're not going to feel the same way I feel. You're not going to feel it. It's not going to be as bad for you as it is for me when I'm coming down a hill and I'm going a little too fast and it's slippery and it's a hairpin turn and it's 30 miles an hour and I'm going 50 and I got my left foot on the brake and my right foot on the throttle and I touch the brake and the wheels are sliding. I apply the throttle. I'm trying to keep the wheels turning, so I got some bit of trying to keep some control, trying to keep calm, you know, because, you know, the adrenaline kicks in, and the only way you're going to make it around the corner is you stay calm. I mean, yeah, it, in some ways, sure, they make it more exciting, but the times when I do get scared, you don't feel that. And I know a lot of drivers say, well, that's all baloney, but there's just about anybody that's on the road gets a shock just about every day. Now, whether it scares you half to death or not, well, that's different, but everybody has close calls. The trouble, like, I mean, I've had lots of drivers come up to me and say, well, my life is boring. And I said, well, you obviously have forgotten a whole bunch of stuff about your life. You know, you know, I mean, you know, you can sit down yourself and you've had some close calls and near misses that you won't think of right away. But if I tell you a story about it, it's something similar, then you'll remember, yeah, I had a close call. You know, we all have close calls. And I mean, when they follow you around like that for 2 months driving a truck, definitely there's close calls. You know, I mean, sure, an inch is as good as a mile, or people say, well, have you ever come close to going through the ice? Well, I don't know. I got across it. But I know that after I've gone over the ice, I mean, I've been told, well, you know, one of the friends said, well, you went over 15 inches of ice for about 100 feet. I said, no way. You told me there was 30 inches. Well, there was 15. I talked to his buddy, and he says, well, no, actually, there was 20. But, you know, either way, it was way, if I knew there was so little ice, I wouldn't have drove over it. But they wanted the job done, and you know, this is you know, a lot of the places where we film are pretty safe places at pretty safe times. But we do work in areas and at times where probably government officials wouldn't let us go there. <You
know>? Yeah.
You know, we are. You know, I am a Republican, so you tend to stick your neck out a little farther than you should more often than you should.
Yeah. Well,
I shouldn't say that. I get shot when I get back to Canada. I guess I'm supposed to call myself a conservative.
I won't tell anyone. It'll just be between you and me.
Right. Good boy.
Right. You mentioned that you were working on a book. I don't know. How far along are you, and when might we see that?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to come out around November. I have a manuscript. I've gone over it a couple times, and I think the publisher has it. Mm-hmm. And I think we're kind of in the stages of kind of finishing putting it together. We're working on getting a bunch of pictures together for it, and so it's been coming along all right.
Do you have a title? Because I was thinking The Pucker Factor might work.
I suggested a title, and I thought a good title would be "Tell Mama I'm a Horse Thief Living in Juarez. Don't tell her I'm a truck driver."
You might need two books to fit that title.
They're I don't know. I don't think they're going to go for that one.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, folks, you can watch the fourth season premiere of Ice Road Truckers on the History Channel. Debuts on June 6th. On, again, the History Channel. And I guess in November, watch for a book from my guest, Alex Debogorsky. I know I was going to screw it up. Debogorsky.
Debogorsky.
And Alex, I practiced, trust me. I knew I'd screw it up, but I still practiced. Can people find you? Do you waste any time with Twitter or Facebook, any of that kind of stuff?
Well, what's worse than not knowing how to use a computer is buying a computer and not knowing how to use it. I did finally buy a laptop. I am on Facebook. My daughter-in-law looks after it. I do have a web page, www.iceroadtrucker.ca. So my son was kind of looking after Twitter, but it got to be too much work, even though it seems to be an interesting media. As soon as he put something on there, it was like 16 people like instantly within 30 seconds on it, but somebody needs time to do that, I guess.
I apologize for any confusion on my part when we started the conversation, but you're a delightful guy to talk to, and I'm sure a lot of people will be tuning in to follow another season of your adventures on
my friend. You know, with a guy with 11 kids, I'm used to confusion, so don't feel bad.
Not a problem. Alex, thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media, and safe travels on your way back from London.
Thank you very much. God bless you, your family, and all your listeners.
You too, sir. Take care, and thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And folks, for more interviews with your favorite reality TV stars, you can surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media Radio listeners. You can go to audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. And you can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews and click follow. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.